TED Audio Collective.
This show is brought to you by Schwab. You're here to keep a pulse on environmental trends. Well, now you can invest in what's trending in electric vehicles, renewable energy, water sustainability, and more with Schwab Investing Themes. It's an easy way to invest in ideas you believe in. Schwab's research uncovers emerging trends, then their technology curates relevant stocks into themes. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy all the stocks in a theme as is or customize to better fit your investing goals. All in a few clicks. Schwab Investing Themes is not intended to be investment advice or a recommendation of any stock or investment strategy. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing. TED Talks Daily is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/TED Talks. That's odoo.com/TED Talks. Odoo, modern management made simple.
This TED Talk features social and criminal justice advocate Marlon Peterson, recorded live at TED Residency 2016.
She wrote, "When I become famous, I will tell everyone that I knew a hero named Marlon Peterson. Heroes rarely look like me. In fact, I'm what garbage looks like. Nope, not the most appealing way to open a talk or start a conversation, and perhaps you have some questions going through in your head about that. Why would this man say such a thing about himself? What does he mean? How can someone view him as a hero when he sees himself as garbage? I believe we learn more from questions than we do from answers. Because when we're questioning something, we're invested in taking in some sort of new information or grappling with some sort of ignorance that makes us feel uncomfortable. And that's why I'm here, to push us to question even when it makes us uncomfortable. So my parents are from Trinidad and Tobago, the southernmost island in the Caribbean. Trinidad is also home to the only acoustic instrument invented in the 20th century, the steel pan. Deriving from the African drums and evolving from the genius of one of the ghettos in Trinidad, a city called Laventie, and the disregard of the American military. Well, I should tell you, America during World War II had military bases set up in Trinidad, and when the war ended, they left the island littered with empty oil drums. They're trash. So people from Laventie repurposed the oil drums left behind into the full chromatic scale, the steel pan, playing music now from Beethoven to Bob Marley to 50 Cent. Those people literally made music out of garbage. 12 days before my 20th birthday, I was arrested for my role in a violent robbery attempt in Lower Manhattan while people were sitting in a coffee shop. 4 people were shot. 2 were killed. 5 of us were arrested. We were all the products of Trinidad and Tobago. We were the bad immigrants or the anchor babies that Trump and millions of Americans easily malign. I was discarded like waste material, and justifiably so to many. I eventually served 10 years, 2 months, and 7 days of a prison sentence. I was sentenced to a decade of punishment in a correctional institution. I was sentenced to irrelevance, the opposite of humanity. Interestingly, it was during those years in prison that a series of letters redeemed me, helped me move beyond the darkness and the guilt associated with the worst moment of my young life, gave me a sense that I was useful. She was 13 years old. She had wrote that she saw me as a hero. I remember reading that, and I remember crying when I read those words. She was one of over 50 students in 150 letters that I wrote during a mentoring correspondence program that I co-designed with a friend who was a teacher at a middle school in Brooklyn, my hometown. We call it the Young Scholars Program. Every time those young people shared their stories with me, their struggles, every time they drew a picture of their favorite cartoon character and sent it to me, every time they said they depended on my letters or my words of advice, it boosted my sense of worthiness. It gave me a sense of what I could contribute to this planet. It transformed my life. Because of those letters and what they shared with me, their stories of teen life, they gave me the permission. They gave me the courage to admit to myself that there were reasons, not excuses, but that there were reasons for that fateful day in October of 1999. That the trauma associated with living in a community where guns are easier to get than sneakers, that the trauma associated with being raped at gunpoint at the age of 14, that those are reasons for me why making that decision, that fatal decision, was not an unlikely proposition. Because those letters mattered so much to me, because writing, receiving, and having that communication with those folks so hugely impacted my life, I decided to share the opportunity with some friends of mine who were also inside with me. My friends Bill and Corey and A-Rox, all in prison for violent crimes, also shared their words of wisdom with the young people as well and received a sense of relevancy in return. We are now published writers and youth program innovators and trauma experts and gun violence prevention advocates and TED talkers and good daddies. That's what I call a positive return of investment. Above all else, what building that program taught me was that when we invest in the humanity of people, no matter where they're at, we can reap amazing rewards. In this latest era of criminal justice reform, I often question and wonder why is it that so many believe that only those who have been convicted of nonviolent drug offenses merit empathy and recognize humanity? Criminal justice reform is human justice. Am I not human? When we invest in resources that amplify the relevancy of people in communities like Live NT or parts of Brooklyn or a ghetto near you, we can literally create the communities that we want. We can do better. We can do better than investing solely in law enforcement as a resource because they don't give us a sense of relevancy that is at the core of why so many of us do so many harmful things in the pursuit of mattering. See, gun violence is just a visible display of a lot of underlying traumas. When we invest in the redemptive value of relevancy, we can render a return of both personal responsibility and healing. That's the people work I care about, because people work. Family, I'm asking you to do the hard work, the difficult work, the churning work of bestowing undeserved kindness upon those whom we can relegate as garbage, who we can disregard and discard easily. I'm asking myself. Over the past 2 months, I've lost two friends to gun violence, both innocent bystanders. One was caught in a drive-by while walking home. The other was sitting in a cafe while eating breakfast while on vacation in Miami. I'm asking myself to see the redemptive value of relevancy in the people that murdered them, because the hard work of seeing the value in me. I'm pushing us to challenge our own capacity to fully experience our humanity by understanding the full biography of people who we can easily choose not to see. Because heroes are waiting to be recognized, and music is waiting to be made. Thank you.
For more TED Talks, go to TED.com.